allemaal. Regeringspartij VVD wil vluchtelingen tijdelijk onderbrengen in sobere prefab-woningen. Op die manier moet voorkomen worden dat statushouders sneller een woning krijgen dan mensen die al jaren op een wachtlijst staan. In het plan van VVD-Kamerlid Koerhuis staat dat er in 2019 een proef moet komen voor een aantal gemeenten om te kijken of de plaatsing van prefab-woningen werkt. In die woningen kunnen ook studenten, arbeidsmigranten of daklozen komen. Winkelketen Blokker staat te koop, staat in het Financiële Dagblad. Het 122 jaar oude familiebedrijf is al langer aan het kwakkelen en reorganiseren. In totaal staan meer dan 500 Blokker-vestigingen in Nederland en België in de etalage. De vrouw die in Australië is opgepakt omdat ze naalden in aardbeien zou hebben gestoken, wilde wraak nemen op haar baas. Ze hoopte dat hij financiële schade zou leiden. In heel Australië waren er ruim 200 meldingen van naalden in aardbeien. Niemand raakte gewond, maar de fruitindustrie in Australië liep wel zware klappen op omdat grote hoeveelheden aardbeien uit de schappen werden gehaald. Bijna alle scholen in Nederland krijgen de komende jaren zonnepanelen. Er is nu een fonds opgericht om het geld voor die panelen voor te schieten. Van de ongeveer 7000 scholen hebben nu zo'n 1000 zonnepanelen op het dak liggen. De meeste scholen zeggen dat ze het geld niet hebben om in duurzaamheid te investeren. Een Britse piloot met vliegangst had niet mogen worden ontslagen door zijn werkgever, oordeelt de Britse rechter. Toen de man in plaats van korte ook lange vluchten moest gaan doen, werd hij telkens onwel. Nadat hij zich voor de tweede keer had ziek gemeld, werd hij ontslagen. De rechter vindt dat de luchtvaartmaatschappij hem een andere plek in het bedrijf had moeten bieden. Het weer bewolkt en regenachtig en een graad of 11. In het zuiden kan het 16 graden worden. Morgen eerst grijs met vooral aan de kust misschien een bui. Later is het op de meeste plaatsen droog en schijnt hier en daar de zon. En het wordt dan een graad of 14. Dit was het NOS-journaal.
Goedemiddag. Maak er een mooie dag van. En sluit vandaag nog de ANWB Veilig Rijden Autoverzekering af. Dan belonen we een veilige rijstijl met een lagere premie. En bij een botsing of andere autoschade weet je zeker dat je goed wordt geholpen. Voor de prijs hoef je het niet te laten, want onze Veilig Rijden Autoverzekering is nu het eerste jaar met 15% korting extra voordelig. Bereken je premie op anwb.nl/autoverzekering.
So that those who are not religious enough can relate to the issues we're talking about.
Yes.
So I just wanted to give you a hint on that as we proceed.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Indeed, I think this message, the return of Jesus Christ, yeah, is very relevant and important for everyone on the face of the earth.
Yes.
The scripture actually says that when the Lord returns,
yes,
that every eye will see him return.
Uh-huh.
And that so that means it's important for everybody to know. It's certainly not just important for Christians.
Uh-huh.
One text I think of immediately is Matthew 16, when Jesus was in discussion with the Pharisees. And
yes,
he actually criticized the Pharisees. He said to them, you know, you see the sun turning red at night, and you say tomorrow will be fair weather.
Yes.
And then he went on to say, but you fail to interpret the signs of the times. See, Jesus looked at these people and were living in a world like our own in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And here, one of the greatest prophets, because though they studied the scriptures, they were reading them with their own hopes. They were placing their own hopes into the scripture, mm-hmm, rather than listening to the plain testimony of the Bible.
But I think it's quite scary because here were religious leaders of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they couldn't discern the fact that the Messiah they've been waiting for was right in their midst.
Yes.
So it places us also in a very precarious situation now, that although many are going about preaching the gospel, talking about second coming, and yet they may be quite ignorant about certain clear signs which God has given to us. And that's why the question I ask, what do you think are some of the prophetic landmarks which are present in the world today, which anyone can look at and say, oh yeah, I see this and that in place, therefore I got to be ready because Jesus may be coming soon.
Yeah.
If you could really zero in on that, would be great.
Yeah, let me say a couple things about that.
Yes.
Let's just take a break here, see if we can get my colleagues to talk. First, I'd like to say that it's important not to fall into the error of setting dates, getting the idea that we ourselves know exactly when Jesus will return. Jesus himself in Mark chapter 13 said, concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. So although we need to be on our guard and be awake and alert for this, we need to be careful about setting a date. So that's the first thing I think it's important to say. Secondly, I believe that the coming of Christ will actually take place in two parts. He will come in the first part for those who believe in him, his followers, his disciples, those who love him. And he will gather them to himself and take them up to be with him in heaven. And there's actually no event that we're waiting for that has to take place before that moment. We talk about that being an imminent event, something that could happen at any time. Literally, before we finish this conversation, the Lord could snatch us away to be with him in heaven. That'll be a wonderful moment.
Amen.
Then the second part of the of his coming, his second coming, will actually be when the Lord himself returns to earth. So he will descend from heaven with a heavenly army and actually descend all the way. So his feet will touch in Israel, in Jerusalem, in the Mount of Olives, leading a great heavenly army to establish his kingdom, where he will rule actually from heaven.
So you mentioned two events here. The first one, which we popularly refer to as a rapture, where believers will be resurrected. Those who are dead will resurrect, and those who are living will be translated to meet the Lord in the air. And then the second part being when he visibly descends from heaven, touches his feet on Mount Olives, and begins his millennial reign. Those are the three events you're talking about here.
Okay. I prefer to speak of them as one event.
One event.
But with two parts.
With two parts, okay.
And as far as that, what that second one will look like, there are some signs that we can look forward to. In, in Matthew 24, Jesus' disciples asked him very much, when is this all going to happen? When will we see the Son of Man come? And starting at verse 3, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the close of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And then finally he says, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. So Jesus actually mentions a number of events that will be taking place. In this passage, I didn't read them all, but there will be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be false Christs, false religious leaders. There will be persecution of those who love the Lord. And there will be actually signs in the heavenlies as well. The heavenly bodies will be darkened and change in color.
Well, someone might say, this world has known a lot of wars and troubles. So is that anything new? What would make us believe that what is happening right now is a pointer to the fact that Jesus is coming back? Because our world has been used to wars and famine and troubles anyway.
Well, if my understanding is correct, as I just explained to you, of course, one of the major things that will alert the world to the return of Christ to the earth will be the first part of his return, when millions or perhaps more than a billion people are suddenly taken to be with the Lord. Suddenly, and the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, the believers in Jesus will be taken away, mm-hmm. and they will be safe with him in heaven. And one day the world will wake up, and that will have happened. And that will be a staggering event. And that will be the first clue that these wars, these rumors of wars, these false religious teachers, they are the ones that are happening right before the end of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, amazing. Let's take the next question. We might get back to aspects of what you just said later on.
Certainly.
So how much of Bible prophecy do you think has already been fulfilled? Because our world has gone to a level where you mentioned secularism, which is prevalent here in the Netherlands, for example, mm-hmm. and other things which has made people to be skeptical, and they don't want to believe nothing. They don't believe in God. Mm. I don't know whether anything's going to ever change their faith, but how much of Bible prophecy do you think has actually been fulfilled? Can you give us a rough idea?
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to have to end the program there. We're going to make way for
prophetic.
Our final program for today, we're going to be talking about motherhood in the first 1,000 days. So thank you for being a part of the last program, the last show. Thank you so very much. Stand by for next program. Good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Apostle Larry Duncan. We are in a segment, health segment, and we'll be talking about motherhood. We're going to be looking specifically at what we title 1,000 Days of, let me take it again, 1,000 Days Insight from Migrant and Dutch Mother's Perspective. In other words, we're going to be looking at how to be a mother and to be able to create, to develop or to nurture or, and to bear forth healthy children. Based on recent studies about what happens within 1,000 days, a lot of work and effort and campaign has been ongoing regarding what happens within 1,000 days. And we are trying to conscientize the public on this issue. So we're going to be discussing today how, you know, mothers have been raising their kids in this time period. I mean, prior to this, the revelation of this research, in a way. So we're going to be giving details, but so we'd like you to stand by and, you know, enjoy the show. Please feel free to be a part of it from the very, very start. I'm going to give the floor to Apostle Helen Roof to introduce our guests this morning. We have them in the studio, and we have also one joining us by Skype. This is Diana Hamilton singing some nice Ghana tune for us to open the way. I want to check whether Miss Choice, are you there? Hello? Miss Choice, are you there? Okay, we'll see about that later.
Oh,
on, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said earlier, we're going to be talking about 1,000 Days Insights from the Migrant and the Dutch Mother's Perspective. In this program, we'll be analyzing the practice around carrying of pregnancy until the second year of the child. We call it the 1,000 Days of Life. And we want to look at it from a Dutch mother and a migrant mother's perspective. Hereby, we hope to gain some understanding into the lifestyle practices and how it impacts the later life of the child. We also will investigate how much they know about the risks and the benefits of doing the right things during the 1,000 days. So from two different cultural backgrounds, we hope to exchange ideas as well as to learn new things and new ways of dealing with pregnancy within the 1,000 days. On this note, I would like to invite Apostle Haleru to introduce our guests.
Well, thank you so much. I believe that this program is going to be very, very faithful and fruitful, and you are going to enjoy it. Remember, you have tuned in to Radio Voice of Niger, your popular radio program on Radio Razzo, and this hour we are transmitting on 103.8 MHz and 105.2 cable. So join us wherever you are from any part of the world, and let us make very good choices in what we are going to say. Our professionals are here, and my guests today are people who are very seasoned, and some of them have been working in this municipality of Southeast for a long time, doing very good job among the migrant community. So permit me this hour to just introduce to you Miss Joyce Aboje, who is
Aboje.
She will speak by herself. Joyce, please, welcome to Radio Voice of Niger. Please, can you go close and say hello to the fans?
Thank you, and welcome to Radio Voice of Niger. As Apostle said, my name is Joyce Aboje. I'm a mother of two, and also a health professional in Amsterdam Southeast.
It's true. Thank you so much. And you came also with Miss Sylvia. Miss Sylvia Vermas. Sylvia, please welcome to Radio Voice of Niger.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself so that our audience, they are curious, they want to know.
Well, I'm Dutch. First. I live here for 44 years.
Wow.
And I'm almost 25 years in the business of maternity nurse.
Wow. You're 25. I love it. Assure us, because some people have not yet been born before. Yeah. You know, before you started practicing.
Yeah.
So I think I'm really you're making me feel very secure. I came from a medical home. My mom was a medical home. She was a maternity nurse.
Mm-hmm.
She was a maternity and also a nurse. That means two professions.
Yes.
And then my senior sister is a nurse and also a maternity nurse, and it's in America. And then one of the sons, my senior brother, is a thoracic surgeon. He has his practice in Long Island. Okay. So when we talk about medical things, I think I'm so distant. I think this is one of our people calling now. So thank you so much, and you've made me relax. also, Sister Joyce. And we also have Miss Linda Ledaka, who is a member of Gigidi and also from 1,000 Days Project.
Okay.
So can you say hello to Radio Voice of Niger fans, please?
Yes.
Miss Linda.
My name is Linda Leidiger, and I have been a children's nurse in hospitals for about 20 years.
Yeah.
And the last 6 years I've been working at the GGD as a children's community nurse.
Yeah.
And for the last year, I've been part of the team, the Amsterdamse Aanpak Gezond Gewicht.
Yeah.
And that's a team who looks at how can we get the children in Amsterdam to be healthier, happier. And we think one of the ways to achieve that is to cut down on obesity and overweight in the children's age.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about it, but we've discovered that the first 1,000 days of a child's life have a big influence on the health of the rest of their lifespan.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm here.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you so much. Well, you could see that these are experts who are here. They have been trained to handle children just like you. So it's very, very important. And they're also mothers anyway. They are mothers.
Yes.
They're very, very mothers. So I mean, I've seen some of the kids of Sister Joyce, and because we also were in Frank Mahead before, where she was practicing. That's where she has her Joyce Kramsark.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So only that you are very humble. So so you're gonna tell us what you've been doing good and the best things you've been doing and helping to deliver women here. So I want to ask. Yes, come in, please. Come in very quickly. This is. Come, sit here. Please. Yeah, sit. Thank you. Thank you. Our fourth guest have just entered. The mother, yes, come closer. It's all right, it's okay. So I give her the chance to just say hello to our viewers. This is Mrs. Cecilia Achono. This is a woman also who have raised kids here. And I'm so glad you are here.
Thank you so much.
Are you happy to be here also?
Very much happy to be here.
You missed your way. Yeah, I'm very much happy to be here.
Unfortunately, I came late. I tried to be earlier, but it didn't work.
Yeah, but it's okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. Welcome. All right, so this is Miss Linda from Kigedi, and also a maternity nurse. She has worked with the kids.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, as children's nurse.
Children's nurse. And then you meet Mrs. Joyce Aboche, yeah?
Yes.
Of Kramsorok. Yeah. And then you meet a colleague as well, Sylvia Viemas. Yeah. So they are colleagues, and they are also working with Kramsorok, Joyce Kramsorok. And then we are here to talk on the 1,000 days of life. You know, how women carry pregnancy and how what they do with the pregnancy and how they take care of the kids while the baby is still in the tummy till just 2 years of the child. Because we've just heard from them that what we eat determines how healthy a child can be or how obese or overweight a child can be, isn't it? So, all right. So, you're going to tell us some of your experiences. Now, the question goes, would you please share with our listeners how you were taught to carry pregnancy and to nurture a healthy baby?
To start with, not as a professional, but, well, African mom. We were never taught how to carry a pregnancy, because the moment you enter into womanhood, beware of boys, eh? Don't let any boy touch you. They never tell you why until it happens that you are pregnant.
Okay.
Then all eyes will be on you to tell you to take things easy. So from African perspective, what I know is that if you pass through the pregnancy in a normal way, without hiding it from your family, if it's more open, then all eyes are on you, making sure you are relaxed. Because stress can be a major factor for causing the health of the baby.
Yeah.
The stress can make you eat too much or too less, which will not be beneficial to the baby in your womb that you are carrying. So I think we were not taught until it happens. Then they help you. From in Africa. That's my experience.
That's what you thought. Okay, yes. It's good. Let me hear from her, because you are speaking from the Ghana perspective.
Yes.
Now let's hear from another part of Africa, from Nigerian perspective.
From Nigeria.
Tell us, were you taught about from pregnancy? England. How were you taught to nurture that baby that was in your tummy?
Already pregnancy in Africa, how I knew about it. Pregnancy. It's a sacred thing. We always keep it.
Yes.
And we respect pregnancies.
Yeah.
We don't talk so much about it. We always hide it.
Uh-huh. Yes.
If you are not married and you happen to get into this pregnancy, it's a problem for you.
Yes.
You keep on hiding yourself from people.
Hello.
Sometimes you are unmarried girls by then who didn't know what to do. They used to use belt to just to hide the pregnancy from, but a child that wants to come. It's always the way to disgrace the unmarried girl. Yeah. But nobody taught me about pregnancy. I just saw it with my mother and aunties and people around. Mm-hmm. But something I know special about pregnancy, people don't just expose it, they always cover it. That's one thing about pregnancy.
Yeah, that could also be true, and it's still true, even in Europe here. That we have the healthcare facilities and we educate the public, we educate our patients about how they should go about it, and so they will be telling African moms here that I'm not pregnant. You see the belly growing, and then they'll say, no, I just ate. Yeah, just to hide it from the candlemans, familiar people. But when it's up to professionals, then they are open. We are all open here in Europe to talk about it and follow the advice of the professionals. But from the African roots, definitely, you see a woman here in Southeast, 9 months pregnant, even carrying twins or triplets, but still will be denying, oh, it's not pregnancy, I'm just full, until the children or the baby
exactly.
Is born.
And they come out wondering, why they go about denying about pregnancy, even when they are married.
Excuse me, I need to interrupt. Can we acknowledge the guest or other guest who's on Skype? Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead, introduce her.
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Oh, wow, awesome. So eventually we are connected. Well, we are connected with Miss Choice Osagide. She is also a mother who raised her kids here in the Netherlands. Joyce, can you say hello to Radio Voice of Niger fans?
Yes, hello, good morning, everybody in Radio.
Good morning,
Sister Choice.
Yeah. All right, so keep listening, and then when you have a contribution, then you just feel free to come in, okay?
Okay.
Since we are not seeing you.
Yeah.
Yes, please, honey, can you continue what you were saying?
Yeah.
That's the experience with the African. So you have seen it, Linda, that pregnancy with the African moms is like, I don't know, do I call it a taboo then? Because you say it's sacred. Is it sacred?
So does it bring bad luck if people
sacred,
see
you? Sacred. It's a blessed, blessed thing.
Yeah.
That's something
you keep it for yourself.
You just keep it, respect. You respect it a lot.
Yeah. So that makes them, they don't talk about it.
I mean, for those who are married.
Yeah.
But when they're not married, it becomes a taboo.
Okay, yes. Yeah. And even though they think it's sacred and they don't talk about it and they hide it, do they still go to midwives and receive their checkups?
Yeah, that's what I said. That we go to midwives and we see the gynecologist, we have the echo and everything.
Okay.
You know, you don't brag about it. God has blessed me, I'm pregnant.
Yeah. Okay.
And even the doctor say that I'm expecting twins. You don't brag about it. You just protect the baby by holding a sacred that is heilig. It's so holy that you don't talk too much so that eyes will be on you. That's the
evil eye.
It's only between you. You know, I told you, she's been here for 44 years. So. Between you and the professionals, of course, you go there with your doctor, with your husband, or maybe with your mother-in-law or with your sister.
Yeah.
But it stays within the close family, and you take the advice of the midwives or the professionals. You take that seriously, but not to the outside world.
No. So, what do you think of all these Dutch women with exposing their bellies, taking photos of them? And that must be a huge contrast between.
Yeah, exactly. It's a cultural thing.
Well, let us hear from a Dutch woman.
Yes.
So, Sylvia, tell us, when you were pregnant, what was really, how were you told to keep it?
To keep it?
Yeah, how were you told to maybe not talk it or
Well, of course,
carry the pregnancy?
The close family, I told them that I was pregnant, and they will send them congrats that it finally get through.
Yeah.
And you get... be sending cards, but hey, you're happy pregnancy, good for you, take good care of you and your child, and that's it. And you go to the midwife, and also you get of course, a list of what you cannot eat,
yes,
what you have to eat,
yeah,
and also the vitamins like folium sur, you have to take it because of you want to have a perfect baby, of course, by,
yeah,
the end of the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're exposed for the outside world, it's like, oh, how busy it is. And yeah, it's more open.
Really?
It's more also, open.
At what point did you make it open? Is it from just when it's one month or 2 months, or it has become big, everybody can see it? Is,
well,
that right?
My belly was bigger than normal. So I always said I'm always walking about behind the baby carriage. But I was open from the day one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
From day one, I was open, so everyone was witnessing that I was pregnant, and of course, my close family, like my parents, my sister, my brother, and my family-in-law, they were all open from day one. So from that point on, it goes on a little bit further. Like if you expose more,
yeah,
then they say, "Oh, how you doing? And how you feeling?" And that sort of thing. So from day one, I was open.
Oh wow! Well, that is contrary to the way. But now we want to contrast it. We spoke about how it was in Africa. The African and the migrants who are here.
Mm-hmm.
How are they still having pregnancy?
It differs from generation. Yeah,
oh,
what's up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Joyce, do you have something to say? Hello, Joyce.
Okay. Yeah. It depends on generation, because what I see is that the second,
it's okay, she can hold out.
The second generation are like the Dutch clients of us,
yeah,
like our children. They are more they expose the pregnancy. So I remember me myself having been educated here. When I got married, the advice that one woman gave me was that, be careful, the moment you get pregnant, don't tell anybody, eh? Like the Dutch people, they do. Keep it to yourself till you give birth. Don't tell anybody. And sitting in front of her, I was pregnant, so I decided to shut my mouth. Not to tell her anything at all, because she was advised not to tell anybody. But the problem is, the point is that...
Hello, hello. Joyce.
Yes, I'm still listening.
Yeah, because we are just cutting off and cutting in, and then it's making the...
I think it's the network. I'm really trying.
I don't know how to use video, only audio.
Please, just use audio, because that would be better, because otherwise it's just distracting what I'm doing, and that wouldn't be very nice for the other listeners.
Then, okay, then let me come back with
audio.
Can you just tell us a little bit of your experience on when you were pregnant, please?
Yeah. For me, when I was pregnant, it was a little bit surprising, because that was my first child and in a foreign land.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit scared as a younger girl, but everything was okay. My most experience is I was always spitting.
Interesting.
Yes, I was always spitting. I have to go with a cup everywhere I go.
Oh, spitting.
Spitting, yeah.
It was not easy for me. It was not nice at all.
But the point we were in was, we wanted to know if you were spoken without pregnancy. Were you exposing it the way the Dutch people do? Like when they are pregnant, they expose their stomach? Or were you hiding it as an African woman? How did you really handle yourself during that time? That's what we...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I didn't have to expose myself, my pregnancy. Our tradition is you have to wait for 3 months before you start telling people that you are pregnant.
Because if you tell people that you are pregnant when you are 1 month, will anything happen, or?
Anything don't happen, but due to our mentality, we wait for 3 months before you tell a friend or family that I'm pregnant.
I think I will come in here, Sister Joyce, because what you are saying compared to the Dutch and on the medical side, it's true. It's just, what's the word for it? Superstitious, you know? Yeah. Not to say. Yes. Why? Because, sister, even those on the medical field, we believe when you tell the midwife or you tell your house doctor you've missed your menses, they will ask you for how long?
Yes.
And then you will say maybe for 2 weeks. Yes. The midwife will calculate for you to come and see her. We confirm the pregnancy, according to the medical side, is only when you are 3 months. Then it's confirmed.
Oh, okay.
So the period that our forefathers or our mothers are cautioning us not to tell the world is because anything can happen within that phase because the fetus hasn't established yet. That's why in the beginning of this conversation I said that in Africa they try to pamper you so that you don't get yourselves into stress.
Because
stress can also cause
like that.
You
don't
to lose the baby.
Too much. Because they feel, as you said, anything can happen.
Anything can
your
happen.
Your stomach is still very fragile.
Yes.
So you, anything you do, you have to think of
exactly.
The baby first. You
yes,
have to
and that's also
first.
Why Sylvia also compared it also in the Dutch culture, saying that when you go to the midwives, they give you some multivites like folic acid, folimsure, so that the baby becomes strong. And then everybody watch over you so that your body relaxes. You eat healthy. Sylvia mentioned it.
But let me ask you.
Yes, but my experience here, when with my first child, after the doctor find out that I was pregnant, they didn't give me anything. And that was a surprise to me. I even talked with my daughter that I find out that in Africa, they give all these vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
But in Netherlands, they don't give anything. You just have to eat healthy. I was a little bit, scared of that. Why is this country like this? They have to give vitamins. But the doctor here said all the vitamins the baby needs is in you.
That's true, sister, because the way we eat here could be different. I'm not saying that we eat better than those in Africa, because I know that even in Africa, it's more organic than what we eat here. But the reason is that when you have a balanced diet, there's no need for you to take vitamins.
Yeah, but you made mention, Sylvia said something about folic acid.
It depends on individuals. Sylvia's age was different. She didn't mention her age when she was pregnant, and her medical history, we don't have to put it in public. They look after that. That's why I said also, Sister Joyce, is that when it happens that you have miscarriages, being a health professional, I have gone through that stages before. So when there's a pregnancy that our eyes are on you, then they do everything to put you in bed. Sister, do you get me? And then they give you every vitamin because, like you said, you were spitting. I don't know how often you were eating. If eating is okay, then it's fine. But we shouldn't forget, throughout the 9 months, you'll be monitored. Eh? And when they see that you are lacking some iron, iron tablets will be given to you. If you like vitamin B complex, they will give that to you. But so far as there's nothing with wrong with your body, not only for pregnant women, all patients here, believe me, you won't get any medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But for the multivite, it's only a food, supplement.
Yeah.
Food.
I have a question.
Leader,
I have a question. As a man, I'm just curious to know, the spitting aspect of the pregnancy, is that normal or is this only peculiar with people? Did you spit a lot, Sylvia? And,
No, I didn't spit at all.
You didn't have that nauseous feeling?
No.
We all know that pregnancies differ.
Particular
person, if you conceive 7 times, all different.
Every sometimes pregnancy is different.
Yes.
Okay.
The first pregnancy will not be so easy with you. Mm-hmm. The second one, will be okay, or even throughout your pregnancies, you'll be having some complications. We are all not the same.
Wow.
Some are born naturally healthy. Whatever they do, they don't have complications.
Mm-hmm.
Some pregnancies, you don't need any vitamin. The only thing you need is just eat normal.
Yes. Yeah.
You don't have any problems with them.
Just
That is true.
Choice, please, hold on. Choice, hold on, please. Let people speak here.
Yeah.
Can you speak?
Because otherwise it gets a bit confusing, because as Joyce said earlier, folic acid is necessary for every woman who wants to become pregnant. To start before you get pregnant, it's the best way to prevent babies to be born. I don't know what you call it in
open bags.
It's spina bifida. The nervous system doesn't quite close at the back of the baby.
Oh.
That's something that's prevented by starting folic acid, preferably before a woman gets pregnant. And the other thing, in the Netherlands, we don't have enough sun, and particularly for people who are darker skinned, they are at great risk of becoming vitamin D deficient. So usually, all pregnant women, and especially women who've got darker skins, in the Netherlands have to take vitamin D. All the other vitamins you should be able to get through a healthy diet. Yeah.
Healthy, okay. Now,
yes.
Okay, can you please tell us, because I want to move to the next question. So what do you mean by healthy diet? Because so those who are listening to us now, who are migrant women, who may be anticipating to be pregnant or who are already pregnant, so they are hearing healthy diet. What can they eat to be sure that the first 1,000 days is... of a child is very healthy. Yes.
A healthy diet is a balanced diet, and it contains of a lot of vegetables, fruits, grains, dark grains, products,
dairy pulses, products.
Fatty fish twice a week.
Yeah.
And
dairy products like yogurt
dairy
and milk.
Products. Yeah. Yes. And and there's a great misconception in thinking you have to eat a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
You actually don't.
Don't eat for two.
No, don't eat for two.
Don't eat what?
For two. Don't eat for two. They always say you carry some.
Enough,
don't eat for two.
But tell us.
Yeah.
It's not how we eat, because they will tell you eat because baby must eat.
Yes.
I was waiting for you guys to finish, because I have a question for the lady that just finished talking.
Mm-hmm.
She said the women that has pregnant here with we that is dark skin, the doctor advised us to take vitamin D, but in my case that was different. I had three children here. I never took anything during the pregnancy.
Okay, so are you your children, did they come out being healthy in that first 1,000 days? I mean, the first 2 days of
them. They came out healthy, and the first 3 months, that is when they said, oh, the children have to take vitamin D after the children was born. But during the pregnancy, I never took anything.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Because you were healthy then.
I was healthy, and I think that is the disadvantage also of our pregnancy in a foreign country where you don't really know the system.
Sister, listen, I'm a health professional. I'm a nurse midwife. I've worked here for a long time. I've also been pregnant, and I didn't get anything either because I knew I didn't need it. And when I needed it, it would have been given to me. So the vitamin K that the babies they get when they are born is enough for 1 week. And then the maternity nurse will ask you to give vitamin K and D from the second week. I don't know how old your children are, but previously we waited for 2 weeks before we gave the vitamin D, but now it's from the 8th day. So you are blessed for not getting anything. It means you were okay.
Yeah. But you know, when I started with, I was spitting a lot. Mm-hmm. That is when I started talking with you guys.
Yeah.
I bring that up because now I have infection from it. But if I have grown up in this country and know a lot of things, maybe I could have prevented my gum from getting infected, because I just find out that when you are pregnant, you also have to see the thunders.
Oh.
Okay, just hold on, please. Let me pass it over because they're not understanding your accent very well. Now, what she's saying, Miss Linda, is that Miss Joyce also, and Miss Sylvia, what she's saying is that she got a disease.
An infection
in her gum.
Yes.
During her pregnancy.
But she said it's still affecting her because of the spitting. So she must have spitted greatly. But well done, honey. I know that that's why the broadcast is being played. Because African women, when they are pregnant, please permit me to say this, they always spit, and that's in Africa, all the time, they spit. But I heard you, Sylvia, you said you didn't spit.
No.
Okay, so she is saying that because they were already giving you guys tablets, and then they didn't give to her, because she's a migrant woman, probably that's what must have affected her. Is it true or false?
It's false. Let me say, sister, when you have dental issue, when you are pregnant, the dental issue comes in. So all pregnant women need to go to the dentist when they are pregnant. For extra checkups.
Okay.
Yes, and we don't do that. Even here, we as an Africans, we wait till we have problem with our teeth before the house doctor will refer us to the dentist.
Yes,
I was almost 40 before I visited the dentist. I was here for 20 years and I didn't know.
Joyce, please, let other people speak.
Listen.
We are in a panel discussion.
Please. So, Sister Joyce, I understand, but like I told you, I'm also a health professional in the midwifery sector, but I experience similar thing. And when I'm pregnant, I will be spitting and vomiting all my intestines out. That's African saying, eh?
Yeah.
It's like a little overdrive. You spit a lot and I'll be vomiting. Nothing can enter my body.
She didn't have a spitting.
No, it's different. Every pregnancy is different. You can be pregnant 10 times, but it's all different.
Okay, but why are the Dutch women not spitting? Why are the Dutch women not spitting?
I'm taking care of their teeth. Are you not understand?
So for her, problem with the teeth could be a different thing. It can also be related to the pregnancy, that when she was pregnant and it was discovered, nobody discovered it, and it has well extended to serious issue.
Yeah.
But not because of the pregnancy spitting, because I'll be spitting and vomiting.
Really?
In my case, I knew eating healthy was good, but I couldn't get anything inside me.
At all.
Okay.
Nothing.
Okay. Sylvia.
Yes.
Did you spit when you were pregnant?
No.
No, it's
okay.
The first pregnancy, I drank too much. But
after
the rest, it didn't happen.
The microphone.
Would it not be good that then we let the migrant women know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think probably some of them didn't know that they have to take their dental, go to the dentist when they are pregnant.
Yes.
But now this information is coming out.
Yeah, but it's a symptom.
It's like, why did Gigede or the city council wait for a long time before they are bringing this sort of information out to us? You know, because I think if they have let us know that some of these things from the way we eat will be affecting the baby.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so don't eat for two, you eat for one, and then eat more of grains, eat more vegetable, eat this, and also live a healthy lifestyle. But these things were not coming out until people have already made their babies.
No, the thing,
I believe that there are still many who are going to make their children who this broadcast will benefit. So it is a very good opportunity that we can talk about this.
And if you go to the dentist regularly, and please notify your dentist that you're pregnant.
Yes.
And like I did, and my dentist say, okay, well, then come, don't wait a half year for your next checkup, but come in 3 months.
Yes.
Because everything is changing. Your hormones are changing.
Yeah.
Your whole householding of your whole body is changing. So he said, also your teeth are changing in the inside of your mouth. So please let me check it, because you never know.
Wow. We didn't have that opportunity in Africa.
Who will go to a dentist in Africa?
No.
And you get problem with your gum, then you go and see a dentist. It's not a
question. Let me ask another question, ladies. I would like to know, were there some specific food you were asked not to eat when you were pregnant? Because what you ate when you were pregnant will affect the life of the baby. So were you conscious about the 1,000 days, even though we didn't call it 1,000 day, we were calling it at least early, you know? Were you conscious about it, that what you would eat can have a very long effect in the life of that baby till the age of two?
Okay, let's Choice start if she has an answer. Choice, go for it. You have an answer to that quickly.
Yes, I did. I like to drink wine a lot, but the moment I find out that I'm pregnant, so I have to stay away from wine so that I don't have to drink my baby with alcohol.
You're getting the applause, is it?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things you have to avoid, like if you like chocolate, you have to reduce the way you eat your chocolate and eat more healthy.
True or false?
Yeah, it's true, baby. You should.
One thing I was also glad that I find out was there is something that African women eat, they call it echo. It has different name in different languages, but in my language, we call it echo. It's like shock. Yeah. And when you are pregnant, you like to eat it a lot.
Yeah.
But I find that early that it's not good for the baby, so I have to stop immediately.
It's okay. It's not good for a baby. What is the name suggestion?
It's chalk. It's a native chalk, but it's come with a flavor.
Yes. I've forgotten the name.
It's made out of
calcium.
Calcium.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
Do people eat it?
Yeah.
Did you eat it when you were?
No.
So tell me, really, is it that this is only peculiar with Africa? Do we just feel those who fail to eat? Because almost some of them, they are nosing, and if they don't eat that chalk, that time, if they don't eat it for a day, when they are pregnant, it's like the whole world is you know, breaking loose.
And sister, can I quickly say something?
Go ahead.
Yeah, and in Africa, we were taught that chalk cleans the baby body. That when you eat it a lot, so when you give birth, your baby's skin come out smoothly. That is what we are made to believe. But in Netherlands, the white people said, no, this is not good for the baby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
When you talk of this chalk, we call it into in Poland.
Yes.
During my first pregnancy, I didn't eat it.
Okay.
I had no appetite for it.
Yeah.
But the second time, I wanted it by all means, even to the extent of eating sand.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
If I don't eat it, I felt so bad. I was so addicted to it. But the first one, I didn't remember it. Unfortunately, I came here right from Nigeria. I didn't have time to look around before I got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So my own experience is different from many of us here.
Yeah.
So I didn't have good experience with it. I had to hide it. It was also during the winter. I had to keep it to myself. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know much people. So before I could go to the doctor, it was almost around 4 months.
So did the doctor know you were eating something like that?
But for the first pregnancy, I didn't eat
The second one you ate.
I have to hide it. If I let the doctors know that I was eating
something
like that, they tell me. I was ashamed of myself, but I need my when I have appetite for it, I can't hold it. Mm-hmm. After eating whatever I used to, then I become ashamed of myself, very remorseful.
Yeah.
But after 2 days, it will come back again. I'll go back to eat the same thing what you eat. I didn't supposed to eat that. Yeah. I know that was harmful to my child.
Mm. Sister Joyce, did you eat that as well?
No.
You didn't have any desire?
No, I didn't. Like I said, similar to Sister Joyce, it's like I was spitting and vomiting a lot, so my health was an issue.
Oh, okay.
But as she was explaining, I knew, I felt I was sick.
Yeah.
But according to the medical staff, they said it's pregnancy symptoms. So no treatment was given, but I had to make sure I would be drinking a lot of water, and I couldn't drink.
Wow.
So they had to just put infuse IV on me, and they give me this boost of getting some water in my body, in my system. Yeah, but I didn't have appetite for anything, nothing at all.
Okay, thank you. Can we quickly know from you, Linda? What are they supposed to be eating and doing that can keep the pregnancy healthy and also the child healthy till the age of two. Can you tell us, please?
Till the age of two, or are we still talking pregnancy? First, pregnancy?
Yeah.
We've said a little bit about it, haven't we? Lots of vegetables, fruits, the grains, the fatty fish, the dairy products, and as you said, the alcohol, no alcohol, no smoking. I don't know whether lots of African women smoke, but I don't think so. No, that's a good thing. And there's some foods you need to watch out for because they can contain harmful bacteria or carry harmful diseases, like raw milk products, cheeses who are made of raw milk.
French cheese.
Raw meat can be dangerous. What else?
Really?
Too much vitamin A. So there's things like in liver, there's a lot of vitamin A, and it can actually harm the baby if you eat too much. But once a week would be all right.
Really?
But also things like too much coffee or the energy drinks were very popular right now. They can make the baby, they make you active, but you share the blood with your baby. Everything you're eating is going through the placenta to the baby, so the baby gets jumpy as well.
Really?
And it's not healthy for the baby to be so excited all the time.
Exactly.
And the other things we haven't talked about, you said about stress. Stress is can be harmful for the baby. Now, it's not always easy to avoid stress, but if your environment can help you to make things a little bit easier for you or your employer, it might be beneficial to let him know you're pregnant so he knows that you can't ask too much of you at that time. Also, moving a lot helps you. It helps you stay mentally healthy because moving gives you the good vibes, the good hormones that make you feel more happy and more relaxed. But it's also good for the baby to move a lot and try to get enough sleep. Sleep is also a little bit neglected and underrated, but for children and for expectant mothers, sleep is important.
So let me ask you, in your practice, have you been seeing African women, the migrant women, doing some of these things she mentioned, like keeping fit, you know, having enough sleep, and being less stressful?
Unfortunately, what we have in our population here in Amsterdam Southeast, where our practice is not as Linda is saying. But she made a point that make it known to your employer. It's not easy. I know how the system works for we migrants, how we come about the job. So you cannot easily tell your boss that I'm pregnant because you're afraid of losing your contract. So what I've been seeing here is that when it's known to your midwife or your gynecologist, because at the hospitals, they have masculine barristers, social workers, who can take your problem and deal with your employer, or even with the UFA, because with the UFA, if you are unemployed, you have to apply solicitasi application letters before you get your income. That can also bring stress to the pregnant woman. So all these things causing you stress, feel free to share with your midwife or your gynecologist so that they can intervene for you. I've seen a lot of patients who are getting this letter from their midwives and the masculine barristers that take it to your boss. And if anything, let your boss contact us so that you don't stress yourself with the work, because the type of job we do here are very stressful.
Yes.
Moving is good, as Linda said, but we have sometimes three jobs. One will be in Amsterdam, the second one will be in Amsterdam Oost, and then the last one will be somewhere in Schiphol.
So you are moving everywhere.
We are moving everywhere with a lot of stress. Let's communicate with your caretaker, and then they will also help you with it. Be that's open and share with them.
Yeah, that's a very good tip. Very good.
Do you see the situation? Have you seen the situation of the migrant woman?
I haven't personally, but I know of colleagues who live, who work in this area or other areas where there's a lot of migrant people.
Yeah.
And it's true that their working conditions are
very stressful.
Yes, they are. Yes.
So,
and it's not as well protected.
Exactly. You see? So, and then you cannot just sit and say, because of pregnancy, I will not go and work, I will not do this, I will not. So, I think the migrant women, they are really, really struggling, and any support that must be given to them must be done.
Yeah.
That would be very nice if the they could have some support from the government. But already, we're talking about people who are born here. From Africa, where we are, we work hard. Women work hard, even with pregnancy.
That is true.
We go far distance, we do hard